There's a kind of preaching happening in America these days, and it sounds so good. Plus, it's exciting. Its key players promise you rich rewards and even Rolls Royces if you have their kind of faith. Coming up, Deadly Worms and Fatal Faith. Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come. Hello, friends. Dr. Tony Evans, in a book entitled The Victorious Christian Life, tells a story that just rips my heart out. Here it is. A little boy who wanted to go fishing one morning stumbled onto a whole bunch of small red worms. So he scooped up the entire squirming pile of them and headed for the pond. Well, as he was baiting his hook with the first worm, it kind of nipped at his finger and actually bit him. Ouch! Well, that had never happened to him. And it really kind of stung, but he popped the worm in the water and a few moments later caught a fish. Then he picked up the second worm. It bit him too. But he shrugged it off and stuck it on the hook and tossed his line out again. Boom, another fish. And four or five times in a row, every worm took a little bite out of his finger. But he kind of figured that was the price he had to pay for all these gorgeous fish he was catching. Well, sooner than he expected, he had a full load and began to hike back into town. A minute later, a nice man came along and offered him a ride in his pickup truck. "How'd it go today?" he wanted to know. "Great," the kid said. "I've been using these new red worms I found." He still had one or two left, and he showed them to the driver. "They kind of bite you at first, but you get used to it." Well, the man took one long look at those little red worms and then suddenly pushed the gas pedal down to the floor and began roaring down the road at 70 miles an hour, heading for the nearest hospital. By the time he got there, the boy was dead. You see, those little red worms were all baby rattlesnakes. Well, after telling a story like that, there'd better be a point, wouldn't you agree? And there certainly is. Now, whatever you do, friend, don't move that radio dial today. A leading televangelist went on the air about 6 years ago to talk about one of the Bible's most common words. That word, just five letters long, was faith, F-A-I-T-H. And here are some of the things that preacher had to say about faith, and all of these are quotes. Faith is a power force. It is a tangible force. It is a conductive force. Now, there was more. He added that just as the force of gravity makes the law of gravity work, it is this force of faith which makes the laws of the spirit world function. We're not done yet. Here's some more. Listen. This force originates from God out of his unlimited heart. The world was born out of the force of faith that was resident inside the being of God. Now, here's the clincher. God cannot do anything for you apart or separate from faith, because faith is God's source of power. All of this that I've shared with you comes from the author's own book, which is entitled The Force of Faith. We're beginning right here in the Voice of Prophecy a 2-week Bible study on the topic of faith, and we're especially going to be focusing on this very popular suggestion, which you most often hear, folks, on the airwaves, TV, and Christian radio, that faith is a kind of force or power, that it's a thing or a battery pack that you can put in a box and carry around with you and use in order to have your way in this world. In fact, we're going to call this 2-week series a suitcase full of faith. Now, what does this have to do with our rattlesnake story? Well, friend, I want to tell you something very earnestly. The ideas about faith being broadcast across North America by this TV preacher and many others are not coming from the Bible. Mm-mm. Not only are they wrong, they're dangerously wrong. They can be fatally wrong. And this one source I just quoted is only one of many. I've been reading recently a powerful, well-researched Bible-based book entitled Christianity in Crisis by Pastor Hank Hanegraaff, which documents what is popularly called the faith movement. I could read for you some of the names of the major players in this movement, but I'm not going to do that because I don't want us to focus on personalities. It's the Bible truth that we want to honestly and earnestly search for during these next 2 weeks. But first, I want to talk a little bit more about rattlesnakes. You see, friend, faith is a good word. It's a biblical word. It's a powerful part of the Christian message. Faith is a good thing. Jesus talked about it. The apostles talked about it. All through the Word of God, men inspired by the Holy Spirit wrote about it and encouraged us to have it. But friend, that doesn't mean that when a preacher talks about faith, that he's speaking the Bible truth. Oh, a leader might speak about Jesus 52 weeks a year and have a very spiritual vocabulary, be spreading nothing but poison and heresy. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, shared a warning and described people coming in and preaching a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached. And listen to me. Just a couple of years ago, a young man named David Koresh preached Jesus Christ with more flamboyance than perhaps I ever could. We all know what happened to his Waco congregation. You know, right here, I want to very openly put myself on trial as well. I'm sure you can't miss the irony of the fact that I'm speaking on the radio at this very moment as well. Here's Lonnie Melashenko on the radio talking about other ministers and what they say on the radio and television. It's oh so simple for preacher number one to turn on his microphone and tell you that preacher number two and preachers number 3 through 40 are presenting a false message. So I want to say this right now about this program, what my friend George Vandeman used to say. You see, he opened up God's Word for 36 years on the It Is Written telecast, and he always said this, "Friends, keep your eyes wide open and your Bible close by." He was telling his viewers to check out what he said. He very humbly put himself to the test. He was glad to be on trial himself. You see, friend, I could talk about faith and be just as wrong as the televangelist I just mentioned. Worms can be rattlesnakes no matter where you go fishing. So I would say to you every week, but especially this week and next week, test everything. Hold up every doctrine you hear to the light of Bible truth. Trust no one except Jesus. Above all, do not blindly trust a man named Melashenko in a radio program called The Voice of Prophecy. Check everything for yourself. I received a beautiful letter just a few weeks ago from a young woman named Lori. Now here's just in part what she said. Lonnie, she said, "I study the Bible often and I know it very well. So when I listen to any preaching, I make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Everything you teach on your program is always lined up with God's Word, and I think that's great." But you know, there was more. For the next 3 paragraphs, she continued on and asked a couple of very hard questions. Something we'd said on one program had her puzzled, and she took the time to write to us and say, "Now listen, what about this? What do you have to say about this?" She put us to the test and very kindly demanded that we defend our position from the Bible. And we've tried to answer. We'll see what happens next. But the point is, this young lady has precisely the spirit of earnest study that we need here in these last days of deception and spiritual turmoil. I just can't commend Lori highly enough. Now, friend, for just a few moments, let's get back to our topic. Question: is faith a force? That's the suggestion being made from those in this faith movement. Does it have its own power? Is it a tangible, keep-it-in-your-pocket kind of thing? One of the popular primers in this movement is entitled, "Having Faith in Your Faith." And people move very quickly from this attitude to a philosophy of, well, name it and claim it. Or as some have more colorfully described it, blab it and grab it. If you have enough faith, some suggest, then God has to do whatever you tell him to. You see, the Holy Spirit's your personal servant, your heavenly valet, waiting to obey your instructions if you have your faith battery packs all charged up, if you have enough faith in faith. Now, for 65 years, our Voice of Prophecy Sunday broadcast, which I'm sure many of you have heard, ended with a poem. Every Sunday, a new verse, but always with the same last line: "Have faith, dear friend, in God." Have faith in God. Friend, the Bible teaches all about faith. Here at the Voice of Prophecy, we want to substantiate and lift up those teachings about faith. But faith in what? What's the object of our faith? We wouldn't dream of starting a series like this without opening up our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. In fact, you and I might as well put a marker in there and keep it for the next 2 weeks. Here it is in the King James Version. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Well, that's a bit mystic, isn't it? But there's one word that those in the faith movement grab onto very quickly. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see, they exclaim, it's a substance, it's a thing, you can get a hold of it. And a quick reading, a first reading, would make you think that. Let's try the same verse in the New International Version. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Here's the New English Bible. And what is faith? Faith gives substance to our hopes and makes us certain of realities we do not see. Just one more. Here's the Revised Standard Version. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, we very rarely quote Greek meanings on this program, but let me quickly do so right here. The Greek word hypostasis, translated substance in the King James Version, generally means an assured impression, a mental realizing. Other renditions include assurance or being sure. Hank Hanegraaff, who has obviously had to do a very detailed study in order to write his book, makes this beautiful and biblical suggestion. I'm quoting, "Far from being a tangible material, faith is a channel of living trust and assurance which stretches from man to God." Well, friend, we'll leave it right there and continue on with our Bibles wide open tomorrow. Let's close with this. Have faith in God. Let hopes be built on Him. Have faith in God, all other sources dim. Have faith in God when facing errors grim. Have faith, dear friend, in God.
Amen. Thank you, Lonnie. Friend, this is Kenneth Richards with a special gift offer for you. We'd like you to have a brand new hot-off-the-press copy of Lonnie's new book, A Suitcase Full of Faith. During this two-week series, we'll be exploring some Bible truths that are both fascinating and vitally important. And they're all included in this book. For your free copy of A Suitcase Full of Faith, write The Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Our Canadian address is Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. We'll really appreciate it. Tomorrow, Lonnie's title will be Picking the Right Candidate. It's not a political roundtable, I can promise you that, but something vastly more important. Until then, this is Kenneth Richards with Lonnie Milashenko reminding you, friend, that God loves you.
What's happening with today's young people? Who will lead the church in the 21st century? Have you ever asked questions like that? I know I have. But I felt ashamed of my worries this summer when I spent a week at Leone Meadows, a church-run summer camp in the Sierra foothills. I listened to young adults, college students, talk about their faith and their commitment to Jesus Christ. I heard them talk about ministry and saw them do it. The longer I watched, the more ashamed I became of my worries. Maybe the reason we worry about the church is that we see too clearly our own tiredness, our own comfortable, mediocre Christianity. The fact is, it's always been young people who have taken the Christian church into the future, and it's going to be that way to the very end. One of the most famous prophecies in the Bible about the last days mentions young people. Listen, "I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." Instead of worrying about our youth, let's make sure that we don't hinder their vision. And yes, let's help them where we can. For the Voice of Prophecy and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, this is John McLarty.